All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by the project architect at Chambers Bay, Jay Blasey. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry I didn't get you on early. I didn't know my man Trevor was giving me the high sign that you were on the line. I would have gotten you on sooner. I wasn't sure that you had called in, but glad to have you on now.
No worries.
And thank you for getting up. I know you're on the left coast, so thank you for getting up early this morning and joining us. And let's start with just your youth, if you will. You seem to have learned at an early age of what you wanted to do, even though you didn't always believe that it would be a career choice. Talk about, it's one thing to travel around and to play golf at an early age and to sort of fall in love with the game of golf, but it's quite another to want to build golf courses. Talk about that, learning that about yourself at an early age.
I was very fortunate. My dad built a putting green in our backyard, so I grew up as a kid with a putting green in the backyard. So the love for golf came early, and as a kid, we'd go out to dinner, and I'd flip the placemat over and start drawing golf holes and things like that. And I was just fascinated by it from a very early age. And then when I was old enough to kind of study it a little bit, junior high, high school, I read some books and found out that most people who design golf courses get a degree in landscape architecture, and so eventually I did that, went to the University of Wisconsin and got a degree in landscape architecture, just kind of kept chasing the dream ever since, if you will.
What do you think was it about your personality that lent yourself to the other side, the building part of it, at such an early age?
Well, I think creativity, for me, it was kind of the ultimate combination of art and golf.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the places that we all hold dear in terms of various courses, they usually occupy beautiful landscapes. And so, again, I was very fortunate as a kid. We got to travel around and play at some interesting places. And, 5 hours in a beautiful place, walking with your dad, playing golf is a pretty good way to create some great memories. And you see that and you get excited and you want to create the spaces that people will remember forever as well.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you read a couple of books at an early age that sort of inspired you. Any particular one that inspired you that stayed with you the most?
Well, at that age, I'm not sure that my reading was up to par, if you will. But different things, even magazine articles with spark inspiration or whatever, but you read the golf architecture book by McKenzie and you hear about his kind of principles of design. One of the things, I read Robert Trent Jones Jr.'s book, Golf by Design, and that was one that, he had compared golf to other games like chess or pool in terms of the strategy of the game. So I found those types of things fascinating as well.
You've broken into the industry at a fairly early age. I mean, you seem to have done everything at an early age when it comes to golf and architecture. Were you a little worried about it in the beginning, being so young?
No, I was, again, I was just really living the dream,
Right,
so,
right.
All I ever wanted to do was design golf courses. And, I was worried at the prospect of it. I had kind of devoted my whole young life at the time to trying to become a golf architect. And when I graduated from college, there wasn't a single job anywhere in the country. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So then, shortly thereafter, just a few months later, I connected with the Jones Group and started there, and then we were off to the races. So from that point on, it's been very much just kind of keep pinching yourself and wondering when you're going to wake up from the dream.
Absolutely. All right, we're talking with Jay Blasey, who has since gone on to own his own golf course architect design firm, but was the project architect at Chambers Bay. But I want to take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit PetesGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
La Marmite Restaurant is a Long Island landmark. The tradition remains, but the menu, music, and vibe are all new. Golfers enjoy our wine selections from the vineyards of Ernie Els, Luke Donald, Jack Nicklaus, and Jim Nance, along with music on Friday and Saturday nights. Visit our website at lamarmiterestaurant.com for more details. Choose La Marmite for your next night out. We'll make it a special one.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is project architect at Chambers Bay, host of the 2015 U.S. Open, Jay Blasi. Jay, as somebody who's been, intimately connected to this project, and you know, you have to have some mixed emotions with the excitement of it being awarded, and then granted, and knowing that the U.S. Open and the best players in the world are going to be playing on it this year, with some of the criticisms of it. And obviously, you knew that going into this business, you sort of had to have thick skin. But how do you balance the mixed emotions between the excitement and the criticisms?
Yeah, it's a great question, and to be honest, they're really, the criticisms or the comments really have not fazed me in any respect. And mm-hmm. I would say the same would be true of anybody who's been involved in the project from the beginning. And that's because we just know that the golf course is different. And
right.
So, we were fully prepared for a number of people to either not understand it or not like it at first blush. And then I think you couple that with just, when you look at things in context, people are the people that everybody want to hear from are the tour pros,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't had a chance to get out there yet. And then, they're reacting to, the Mike Davis's conference where he recommends that they get out there early. And
mm-hmm.
so there's all sorts of stuff being said without a whole lot of people having actually been there or seen it. And the golf course is just so different that we fully expect that a number of them will love it, a number of them will hate it, and there'll be lots of people who are in between. But if all the tour pros had come out and said we love it, we know we would have done something wrong.
Right. I guess, I don't know if you heard me earlier, I just don't understand what there isn't to appreciate about it. I mean, we know about St. Andrews. We know about the great links in Ireland and Scotland. Why would this be such – why is this so hard for these guys to wrap their brain around it?
Well, I think, again, a couple things. When you're looking at it in context or based on circumstances, they haven't been there or they haven't had a chance to spend much time there. And, their livelihood depends on how well they play it. So they're probably, a little scared or a little nervous on the front end based mm-hmm. on what they see. And then I think the thing that's just so unique about Chambers Bay is that, yes, it is links. It'll play very firm and fast, but it is a little bit different than St. Andrews. St. Andrews is less than 100 acres.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a total of about 10 or 15 feet of elevation change over the whole property. But what's very similar from St. Andrews to Chambers Bay is the importance of what happens to the golf ball after it hits the ground.
Right.
And if you think about a tour player, that is the one area where they don't have control. So if you put yourself in their shoes and you're making a living playing golf, you want control. You
sure.
want soft conditions. You want to be able to fly at 230 and have it stop on a dime right exactly where you hit it. What we're asking them to do is we're asking them to think and to be creative. And Chambers Bay is going to provide them with an endless number of options on almost every shot. They'll be able to play directly at the hole. They'll be able to land the ball short. They'll be able to use what we call sideboards or kicker slopes outside the green to feed the ball towards the hole. So they're going to have an endless array of options at their disposal, but it's going to be incumbent upon them to to figure out which one's going to work best. And 9 times out of 10, that's not going to be flying it at the hole. It's going to be landing it short or landing it right of the green and letting a slope take the ball there. And again, that's where they don't have the ultimate control over their golf ball. So I think that's what's going to create some nervousness. That's what's going to create some people to not get it or not like it. But in our mind, that's exactly what we were trying to do, is present them with options and let them figure it out.
Yeah, it's a good thing a lot of these guys didn't grow up playing professional golf in the 50s, and given the conditions and the uncertainty of things playing out, they've been so used to things being so pristine and so refined, and so that the conditions have created these little monsters, so to speak. But getting back to the ultimate, this golf course with tons of flexibility and options. Are you worried about Mike Davis a little bit in sense of maybe outsmarting himself, trying to get to test these golfers?
No, Mike is an absolute genius when it comes to setting these things up. And I think you did touch on a great point in that, perhaps more than any golf course he's ever had to work with, Chambers Bay is going to provide Mike and his team with the ultimate in flexibility. I mean, almost every single hole, he'll be able to move the tees up or back 120 yards.
Yeah.
On a number of holes, he'll be able to move tees side to side. He'll have a left angle or a right angle. Sometimes he'll have the opportunity to move them up or down. Some holes you could play from a highly elevated tee or a lower tee. So he'll have three dimensions to move them around. The same goes with the hole locations on the greens and whatnot. So I was very, very fortunate during the U.S. Amateur. We got to go around ahead of time and kind of map out how they were going to set up the golf course. And to be able to kind of take a peek behind the curtain and to see the work that goes into trying to figure out which hole locations to use, how to set up, how to balance the tees and whatnot. They've got it down to a science. They do a phenomenal job, and I'm sure that they will really bring out the best of the golf course and the competitors as well.
The one thing that Mike has said about that has caught a lot of attention is this idea of uneven lies on the tee boxes. Can you elaborate on that? For those of us who haven't been to this, because been on site and not knowing exactly what the grade looks like on the tee boxes, so to us we don't really know we can't really envision what he's saying, because part of it, I would think, would alarm people in terms of thinking about the integrity of the tournament, thinking that if you have uneven lies on a tee box, what might be good for one person may not be good for another, whereas a tee box might be the one spot where it's even for everybody in terms of being flat and yada, yada, yada. But maybe can you talk a little bit about that to help us sort of understand what exactly is going on with the tee boxes?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm sure that if you read that in a newspaper article or hear a radio soundbite, you're thinking to yourself, what are they talking about?
Right, exactly.
The idea with the tees, for me personally, I find tees to be the most unnatural part of any golf course. You would never find a flat circle or a flat rectangle out in nature. It just doesn't exist. And so the idea, again, we were crafting or sculpting this links golf course. I wanted the tees to kind of bleed or melt into the landscape, so that if you were looking from, 200 or 300 yards away, you wouldn't see these very artificial features popping out. So
sure.
The idea in terms of crafting the tees was to let it just be one big field of golf, one big landscape. So if you're trying to picture in your mind what it looks like, what it really looks like is a skinny ribbon of fairway extending over a rumpled landscape. Now, within that, there are flat portions, just like regular tee boxes,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they're just hidden because those flat spots are cut at fairway height, and then the side slope is also cut at fairway height, where on a normal golf course, the tee is, fairway height, but all the side slopes are rough, so you can see right away where the flat is and where the uneven part is. So really, there are flat spots, they're just hidden. And I really believe the idea of how they set up the course and whether or not they use these uneven lies is kind of a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
They have flat spots on every single hole to use. My guess is that, you know, they might give the players with in between the two blocks, they might give them 80% that's flat and 20% that's got some slope to it. So it's up to the player to choose if they want to try and use the uneven part or not.
Gotcha.
You know, but I highly doubt that, you know, they're going to put them on a severe side slope and force right. them into hitting some weird shot. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Right. Highly anticipated event, this golf course and this event, and then you combine that with Fox taking over and being the custodian of Gesserville, if you will, in terms of the visual medium. Any thoughts on how you think the course is going to present on TV? You probably got a little taste of it, obviously, with the USAM, but I'm wondering if Fox did its due diligence and reached out to you or RTJ in trying to optimize the visual angles and ask you guys, hey, you know, what do you think is the sort of, you built the course, what might be the biggest or the best sight lines for cameras or whatnot? Just any conversation in that regard?
Well, I'm sure, you know, I think if you go to, you know, USGA.org or USOpen.com or whatnot, you'll see they've already got a number of things up there. There's drone flyovers mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I think just by the sheer nature of the site, it'll be a real exciting US Open. I think the visuals will really capture people from around the world. It's a beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. The golf course sits right on Puget Sound. From the golf course, you have long views across Puget Sound to tree-covered islands and snow-capped mountains. You know, for those who haven't spent any time in the Pacific Northwest, Mount Rainier is in the same county as the golf course. And if there's a more spectacular mountain on the planet, I haven't seen it yet. So in terms of just the eye candy, if you will, I think that Chambers Bay will really really shine and be captured well by Fox. They've already done a great job. In terms of asking me, no, they have not reached out to me for my input. I'm sure you'll see plenty of Bobby, but you probably won't see much of me.
Right. Well, I just feel like it would behoove them to at least to, you know, have a conversation at least with RTJ about. I just feel like a lot of times TV cameras don't. We already know that it flattens out the golf course and on the TV, and that's one of the challenges. But I feel like it's compounded by just bad angles in general. A lot of times we just see as a viewer just the ball in the air, or the ball on the, you know, or the putt on the ground. A lot of times I feel like they don't do us justice with the angles where golfers don't just hit straight shots. I know the ball goes straighter than ever, but they do curve the ball. And I feel like a lot of times on TV, we don't get to appreciate the shapes of their shots. Okay, so maybe we have shot link on the or the tracker on maybe a tee box or whatnot. But in terms of general out in the field, we don't get to see that. We just see a white ball against a blue sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think at least that's been a talking point so far with Fox that I know of, that they're trying to implement some new measures to help bring those things out. So I guess we'll all tune in and see how well they're able to pull it off. But I agree with you. You know, nothing bothers me more than just sitting and looking at a whole bunch of putting or looking at the hole backwards. I want to see what the hole looks like from the tee. So
exactly.
We'll all have to tune in and see how well they pull it off. But that's at least been a talking point so far. I think they've talked about using different technology to try and bring home some of those points.
Good. All right. Well, I need to take one more break. We'll be back in 30 seconds with Jay Blasi, the project architect at Chambers Bay. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, re-gripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Jay, anything that my guest is project architect at Chambers Bay, when they built it, and now host of the 2015 U.S. Open. Give me your top three things that you're going to focus on the most when you turn on the tube and see your baby come to life.
Well, I think number one is going to be to watch player and caddy interaction. I am going to be fascinated to see how they try to dissect the golf course and figure out. We touched upon earlier the golf course is going to play very firm and fast, and there are so many options available to them. The undulations on the golf course, these sideboards, kicker slopes, the rolls, spines within the green, those are all things that they not only need to figure out when they're on the green, but when they're 200 yards away. And so while the casual observer may not care, to watch a player and caddy stand 200 yards away from a green and point to the right and then look over and point to the left and talk about, do we want to hit a draw or hit a cut? Those are the things, you'll see me off in the corner doing cartwheels when that happens.
Right.
That's the stuff that you don't see it. So that'd be number one. I think I'll be interested to tune in and see, the setup and how, we've talked about how Mike Davis and his team will have kind of the ultimate in terms of flexibility. I'll be curious to see what they choose to do with that in terms of, tee boxes, hole locations, whether or not they, set things up particularly long one day or short another. And then the last thing will probably just be the weather in terms of whether or not we get some weather to impact the championship. I think for all involved, June in the Pacific Northwest oftentimes can provide you with different weather. You can get a 75-degree sunny day with no wind, and you can get a 55-degree day with a little rain and lots of wind. So from a perfect standpoint, I think all those involved would maybe like a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of Chamber of Commerce days to show off the beauty of the area, and then maybe a day or two of wind or rain to really put the players through the paces and test their full links game, if you will. So those would be a couple things that I'll be looking for.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, thank you very much for joining me. And let's talk about maybe after. We'll do a quick after the tournament. Maybe we can do a quick podcast where we can sort of do a postmortem and get your thoughts on how it did play out.
Absolutely. Happy to do so.
That'd be great. All right. Thank you. That was Jay Blasi, the project architect at Chambers Bay, 2015, host of the 2015 U.S. Open, has gone on to now move to his own work at Jay Blasi Design, and you can get that at jayblasi.com. That's it for this week, folks. We're right up against it, so just want to thank you for joining me, and thank you for the support. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.